Good morning. And got a couple of scripture readings. First one, want to turn to Malachi chapter 3 and read verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. My next reading, we'll go to Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to read verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever.
Amen. The title of the message I'd like to share with you today is God's Wrath. And I want this to be a joyful, uplifting message. This is not, I don't want to come up here and beat people up. I don't want to be mean. As David read in our first opening, the simplicity of the Bible, in my opinion, is what people struggle with. And in Malachi, God said, I am God, therefore I change not. I've never changed. And then in the New Testament, or the New Bible for some people, His only begotten Son, Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's what I want to focus on today, is God's judgment and God's wrath never changes. Jesus' judgment, wrath, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I think one of the greatest things that inspired me most of all the things Jesus said, and we all know the little story where He picked up a child and said, unless you be converted and become like a little child, you will not enter into My kingdom. We have to have that childlike faith. We have to accept the simplicity of God's Word. The world wants to corrupt it, and they want to overthink it, and they want to complicate it. And we've got seminaries and cemeteries all over the place with knowledge coming out of their ears. But yet, this Bible was written so that a 12-year-old child could read it and believe it. And all I want to do today is I want to read through some scriptures and let the Bible interpret the Bible. And I really hope that this will be uplifting. Because, yes, God has a wrath. He is our Heavenly Father. We are His children. No matter how old you are, or young, you are a child of God, and He is our Father, and He will do what's best for us. And I know for me, sometimes He has to take us out to the woodshed, because what we're going to see is He hates disobedience. He hates people who disobey Him, just as we did when we had children and when I was growing up. I remember one time me and my dad, I was younger, a little bit older, and we were going through a checkout line, and this little kid threw a tantrum, because what do they have at checkout lines? Candy, Hershey bars, and the kid wanted a candy, and Mom said no, and the kid threw a tantrum and got really loud, stomping and all that, and I'm like, wow. And I looked at my dad, I said, Dad, did I ever do that? He said, yeah, you did it once. Okay. That's my dad. Why? Because Dad meant what he said. He never lied to me. Brian, don't play in the street. If you do, you're going to get in trouble. And if I played in the street, I got in trouble. And it didn't take me long to learn that my dad, my earthly father, meant exactly what he said. And all I want to do today is just read through some scriptures, and let's see if our Heavenly Father talks to all of us children in the same way. So for my first reading, please go to the book of Romans, chapter 1. And I want to read verse 18. Romans, chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So there's a simple answer. It's the unrighteousness and ungodliness of men who pervert and corrupt His Word. That's what makes him angry. And his wrath is reserved for the unrighteous and the ungodly. Now, our Father is slow to anger. He has mercy. And I've always explained God's mercy. I've had people say, well, we're in a dispensational of mercy. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Okay, in my opinion, God knows what you don't know. That's mercy. When I grew up, I couldn't wait for Christmas morning. I couldn't wait for my Easter basket. I couldn't wait to go Easter egg hunting. I loved Halloween. I loved all that stuff. But then when I grew up and I found out where this stuff came from, I stopped doing it because I didn't know. My parents didn't teach me that. And I tried to share with them what I learned, and we separated. But does not the word say that that will happen? My word will separate father, son, mother, daughter, on and on and on. And even to this day, it angers them that we don't go to their Christmas party. It angered my father and mother that I didn't bring Laura and David to their house for trick or treat. Well, I know you don't do it, Brian, but can't you do it for me? No, I can't. Why? Because it's not true. Now, again, I'm not judging anybody. Please, please, as I go continue, I'm going to just say one more time. This is not a message of condemnation. It's an awakening. And I just want us to read and let the Bible interpret the Bible. Let's go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Start reading in verse 6. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience, and it should be unbelief. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. See, that's what I was so proud of Laura and David. They do not like ungodly friends when they were growing up. And David has separated himself from some of his friends, and so has our daughter Laura, because of the unrighteousness and the ungodliness of them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfaithful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, we're supposed to say why we don't do Christmas. We did not have an Easter egg hunt. We've never had one at our house. And I explained to them why we don't. And if they, growing up, they go to school or whatever, hey, did you find any eggs yet? No, we don't do that. You don't? Oh, no, I thought you were Christian. Oh, you mean to tell me, Brian, your kids have never had Christmas morning? They've never gone and sat on Santa Claus's lap? They've never gone trick-or-treat? No. Why? Because it's not true. Now, they were polite, and I tried to teach them. Be polite, respectful, be firm, and reprove them with the truth, because feelings aren't facts. It's true. Well, I don't care what you think. I don't care how you feel. That's why we've got these mega churches. They're called feel-good churches. Amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I'm okay, you're okay. Let's all hug hands and love Jesus. That's not enough. Because what do you love? I was in darkness, but the light of truth, now I walk as a child. I'm a child of God. No hair, but I'm still a child. I'm still, okay, what do I mean by that? I'm still growing. It's fun to learn something new. I can't wait to learn something new because I'm growing and I want that light. I want to walk in that darkness. If you will now turn back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 9. Deuteronomy 9, I want to read verse 7. Here's a warning. Remember, don't forget, remember and forget not. Pay attention. Thou hast provoked the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until you came unto this place. Ye have a rebellious against the Lord. They forgot. They forgot. This is it. Now, we know that that was in the Exodus. This is the book of Deuteronomy. Here's a history lesson. We and Don talked about this last night at his house. Israel would come back to God, and in one generation, they'd fall away. When they built the temple, and they had the grand opening, 20 years later, it was empty. Or about, I don't know exactly. But in one generation, they scattered. Why? Because they had a rebellious heart against their father. He said, love not the world or the things of them, because if you do, the wrath will come upon you because of your disobedience to me. They knew. Why did he say, remember and forget not? David, don't forget to take the trash out tomorrow. Laura, don't forget to. They knew. Jesus, God said, you got remember and don't forget. What? How many more times do I got to tell you? Because if you listen, God, he means exactly what he says. He told Adam and Eve, don't do this. If you do, you'll die. Well, and what did it say? Well, he didn't really mean that. Well, yeah, but you know, if you do, you'll be like him and blah, 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 blah. What was their sin? Their sin was Satan convinced Adam and Eve that God doesn't keep his word, that you can sin a little. And he won't care. He's not like that. I am God, therefore I change not. The same, he never changes. If you will, turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33. And I want to read verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye, turn ye, turn ye, turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? That's a question. I set before you life, death, blessing, cursing. Deuteronomy 28, what is it? 15 verses of blessing, 65 curses. It's up to you. I've told you what makes me mad. I told you what angers me. We know the stories of that you were not like your fathers, or return to the faith that was once given to you. I have no pleasure. I want you to turn from your wicked ways and then choose life. That was written back in Ezekiel. It still means the same thing today. And it's something we all deal with. We've all been down this road. We've all been disobedient. We've all been spanked. We've all been persecuted. He's had to raise us up with the rod of iron. But why? Because he loves us. And a true Christian will thank the correction from their Heavenly Father. If you will, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 10. To show you how serious this is, well, that all, you know, that's the God of the old, and, you know, things changed. Well, let's see, in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is speaking, and he's speaking to the disciples, verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. I can kill everybody in this room and kill your body. You could all kill me. But I do not have the power to kill your soul. Who does? Our Heavenly Father. That's who we should fear. Why? All the disciples except one, they were killed for preaching the gospel. They tried to kill John. He survived and he died of old age. But they all were cut asunder. They all suffered for what? Preaching the word. Polycarp, who taught at Rome, had a small group. When they burned him, they killed him. He said, you know, you guys, you're going to burn me. Yeah, I'm going to suffer, but you're going to go to some place that your suffer will never end. How many times in have we read stories of people who went to their death praising God and singing hymns? The martyrs. I've heard stories where an old man volunteered to take the place of a younger man. So, look, you need a sacrifice? Take me, let this young man live, let him go. I'll die in his place. That's what he's talking about. Because he was not afraid. This body will die. I'm at that age. I have more yesterdays than tomorrows. I'm on the back nine of my life. Okay, it's okay. I don't want to go, but I can't wait. There's a part of me that I can't wait to go home. I can't wait to go to the other side. You know, I won't need these glasses. Hair will come back. I think we're all going to be young and we're going to be virile. We're all going to feel it's going to be worth it. The resurrection. Some people didn't even recognize him. Look what they did to him. And when he read, they didn't know who he was because the resurrection cured him. That's what we're after. But Jesus warned us. Fear him who's able to kill both. If he didn't say that, why would we be afraid of someone who could kill your soul? Why would he tell us to fear that man? It's me and my Heavenly Father. That's who we're to fear or respect. Turn with me now to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2. Here's a history lesson, beginning in verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them which an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Nothing's changed. The sin that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah is the sin that will destroy the United States. If he doesn't, God would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And deliver just Lot. Remember we read that he will protect those who live righteously. Well, what did Lot? And delivered Lot, vexed with the filthy conversations of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelleth among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteousness soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. Why was Lot spared? Because he lived a righteous life in an unrighteous city, in an unrighteous community, in an unrighteous city. He begged, God, are you going to kill the wicked and the righteous together? 50, 40, 30, 20, 10. They had four. He couldn't find six more in two cities. Now, I don't know the population of Sodom, but I'm not that smart. But what killed Sodom and Gomorrah was gays and lesbians. That's a small part. The unrighteous living together, fornicating outside of marriage, they were killed. The ungodly were killed. He said, if you can find 50 righteous men, I'll spare. Not 50 non-gays and lesbians. They were one spoke on the rim. It was unrighteousness that destroyed those cities. That was just what, don't beat up, I hate to say this, but don't just beat up the gays and lesbians. All the straight people who were practicing sexual perversion, you were destroyed with them. It's his righteousness. And what did Lot do? His righteousness, God protected him because of his righteousness. And he'll do that today. If you're in an unrighteous situation at work, if you have friends, if your circle of friends, ungodliness, I can't control the people I used to work with. I can control what I hear. I can control what I say. I can let them influence me, or I can try to influence them. But I will not be changed. And that's the strength that God promised us. I will spare the righteous in an unrighteous world. He's never changed. That same protection that he gave Lot, this is a history, this is in Peter. Remember, Sodom, what did I do? I'm going to do it again. Who did I save? The righteous. And I'll do for you what I did for Lot. Okay, now turn to the book of Luke, chapter 12. And I want to read verses 1 through 5. Luke chapter 12, verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto the disciples, first of all, beware of the leavening of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, here's a warning. Whatsoever ye have spoken of in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. But I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more than that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which is after he hath killed you, hath power to cast you into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Now I looked up the word hell, and it's in the Greek, it's number 1067. It's Gehenna, and it talks about a place or state of everlasting punishment. He warned us, you don't want to go there. You don't want to go there, but he will honor your choice. He will honor your thing. And he tried to warn them. The Pharisees, the leavening of the Pharisees is false teaching. The bread can't grow because it's not teachable. It's false teaching. Be aware, study, read, grow, understand, and be afraid. And fear him who has that power to kill body and soul. If you will now turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 7. Here's the way God, I never change. Psalms chapter 7, verse 9. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every now and then. Every day. Every day. He hates wickedness. But he loves the righteousness. And he loves it when we come out of the wickedness that we were brought up into. I know it's a harsh word. But we're not this is for keeps. This isn't casual. This is not something that you can take lightly. Because all the people we've read who did, they died lost. And he's trying, please, please, please hear my words. Okay, now if you will turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. And I want to read, starting in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You see a pattern? Now, I want to pause for a minute. I want to share something with you. I want to try and show you something. We know that Jesus said is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Okay, now, the most important day of your life is today. I'll say it this way. The people of today want to change the God of yesterday and change him to the God of tomorrow. Here's what I mean. On that day, in 1967, the United States said that interracial marriage and miscegenation, it's not wrong anymore. It's okay. And on that day, they changed the Word of God for 5,000-6,000 years, and they changed the God of yesterday, today, and now, where are we tomorrow? How many churches proclaim that blasphemy, that celebrate miscegenation? When did it happen? It happened on one day in 1967, and that changed the God that we now serve. Well, it changed their God who they serve tomorrow, today. 1973, United States said that it's okay if a woman wants to murder, kill her child. And we changed God's opinion of that on that day in 1973. And now there are people fighting it. And God bless the ones that do. And we hit the brakes last summer, but it's not over. But there are people fighting for that. And God bless the ones who are trying, who cry out for the unborn. This is how I see it. What about the father? What about a man who plants his seed and fathers a baby, impregnates a woman, and she decides she's going to murder and take that baby and throw it, and he's on his hands and knees with tears in his eyes. I want my son. Nobody cares about the guy. Okay, why? Because everything is women today, if you know what one is. Now, I'm going to share something with you, and this is going to show you how old I am. Our daughter Laura, April 21st, will turn 24. When we got pregnant, Susan got pregnant, I didn't. We were shocked. Okay. And I thought, well, you know, that was so nice to see you give birth, you know, get pregnant, have a baby, and hold it. So then we found out we were pregnant again. And I said, well, maybe this time it'll be my turn. But no, she gave birth to David. I didn't get pregnant. Wow, I missed out. See, I know what a woman is. I know what a man is. I know how babies are made. I know how they're born. I know how they're birthed and how they're nursed. When Laura and David were born, okay, my milk didn't come in. Does that surprise you? Hers did, because God made her to have women. You are God's, you're the greatest thing that God ever gave a man, was a loving wife, a helpmeet. It's the only relationship where two become one flesh. My son is my son, but he's not one with me and his mom. Hopefully he'll find and then he will understand and have the love that me and their mother have. Our daughter will find, hopefully something will find, and they will have that oneness. And that union is how God said, this is how I want you to have children. And we're trying to change it. One more example. In the year 2015, the United States of America said, all 50 states, that same-sex marriages is now legal. Praise God, hallelujah. But on that day in 2015, they changed the God of yesterday, and now we have a new God for tomorrow who accepts ungodliness and unrighteousness and accepts the perversion of two women and two men joining in holy matrimony. Now, why didn't God provide a way for a man to have sexual relations with another man and produce a baby? And why didn't God provide a way for a woman to have relations with another woman and produce a child? Even nature tells you it's crazy. But look where we are. We got a brain-dead woman on the Supreme Court, was asked, what's a woman? I can't answer that. I knew what a woman was when I was 8 years old. Now, it took me till to be about 10 or 11 where I learned they didn't have cooties, you know. So I grew up a little bit. I don't know. I do. Okay, but you see what happened. That's why today sets yesterday and tomorrow. The decisions we made as a nation, and we're being damaged by it. Because as a nation, we changed in 67, 73, and 2015. Who knows what's next? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 9 and 10. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Yes, Jesus died for your sins. My sin put my Savior on that cross, and he shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins. Yes, yes, yes. But that shed blood will save you from the wrath of God when all hell breaks loose, when Jesus, and then when the Father come back, as it was in the days of Noah, it will be when Christ returns. Your salvation will save you from God's wrath. Yes, sin, saving your sins is this. Saving you from God's wrath is this. Okay? I can forgive. We forgive one another when we do things. I'm sorry. Don't worry about it. Okay, forgiveness is this. Thank God we will not suffer our Father's wrath, because he wants us to turn and grow and learn. And he loves us when we change. He loves us when we repent. See, confess your sins, you admit it. Repent means to change. And hey, we all have a struggle. We read there with that, all those things that we do in darkness, that hidden sin that all of us have that nobody knows about will be exposed in lightness someday from the rooftops. So that's what we need to work on, is that hidden sin that nobody sees. We all have it, and two. Now, for those who are in Christ, who die, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Yes, the thief on the cross died because he was a thief. But he didn't ask God to stop his execution. He saw the big, remember me when you enter. I want to live forever. I did what I did. I've got this coming to me. I admit. He confessed. Confess your sins, yes, but repent and make that change. And pray for strength. Yes, we all struggle. This flesh is fallen. It's weak. Hang in there and don't give up. A quitter is someone who stops trying. Okay, let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 1. This is going to be a little lengthy, so I'm just going to read through it. I'm going to start in verse 24. Romans 1, verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. And sometimes the word heart means your mind, your thought process. Through the lust of their own minds, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more, or instead of the Creator, who is blessed forever. That's where we are. See, God's not God, you are. You decide what's right and what's wrong. Well, what might be wrong for you, Brian, isn't wrong for me. Okay, no, then God's not God, you are. There's no submission. We are his creation. He is our creator. What do we do today? Oh, these kids, we want to build their esteem. We want them to have, and these kids are loaded with self-esteem. My Bible says we're to esteem others more than ourselves. That's humility. If you don't have the humility and humbleness to esteem others more than yourself because you're so important, you will never forgive yourself. You won't change because you think you don't have to. God's not. I decide what's right or wrong. Verse 26. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust. Remember what he said, avoid about lust in 24. Burned in their lust, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of the error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up over to a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind is a mind void of judgment. And politicians love that. Don't judge. Don't judge. Well, I don't know right from wrong. That's because you're an idiot. You have a reprobate mind. You don't know right from wrong or wrong from right. People love that. Because if you're not wrong and I'm not wrong, we're all going to be blessed. That's the arrogance. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, disrespectful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers. Now that's a big one for us. But I want to ask the denominational church world, in kindness, if you're a covenant breaker, look at the company you're keeping. Murderer. Oh, we think same-sex marriage is wrong. Are you a covenant keeper or covenant breaker? Well, we don't know. Well, then you're just like them. You see the list? You see the company you're keeping when you break God's covenant so you can have a mega church? You see the list, the company you're keeping if you're a covenant breaker? Without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Yeah, let's party. Party now, because, hey, nobody's promised tomorrow. And everybody, you do what you want, I'll do what I want. That's not God's way. That is not God's way. If you will, turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. And I want to start reading in verse 5. Yeah, Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, the covetousness which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. These are all of us, if you're a child of God. Well, I'm an adult. I'm sorry to hear that. Because you're acting like a 12-year-old. Well, I'm not a child. Yes, you are. I'm 64. I'm a child of God. This punishment comes to me just like a 4 and 14 and 24 and 30. However old you are, you're a child of God. Children, in which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. God said, I have no pleasure in punishing the wicked. I want the wicked to turn from their evil ways. And the angels in heaven rejoice when a sinner repents. That's what he wants us to do. Drop down to verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. This is the opposite of Romans 1. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also ye do. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to that which you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. This is the conversion process we've all gone through. Take out the bad, replace it with the good. And it'll change your life. It'll change you so much your friends will notice it. they might not want to keep your company anymore. 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Don't bring this right. It's not you. Bring honor and glory to our Heavenly Father. Don't bring it on yourself. That's vanity. A humble man will praise God for all the blessings that He gives us. Verse 19, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Because young people make emotional decisions when they're emotional, when they're immature. And this is on fathers. Don't be so hard. Remember, you were once young, dumb, and stupid. Kids do crazy things. Guide them. Correct them. Show them in love their mistakes so that they may grow. I don't like to punish. I never enjoyed punishing Laura and David, but I love them enough to do it, and then they will grow up and mature, and that's the way our Father does this. And this is all what we just read is conversion. Let's go a couple more. Go to the book of Judges, chapter 2, to give it one small example of how things were done. Judges chapter 2, verse 10. And also all that generations were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth, which is where we get Ishtar, Easter. And verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and He delivered them unto the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them, and He sold them into the hands of their enemies round about them, so that they could not be any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, and the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord hath said, and as the Lord hath sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. But there's hope. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hands of those that spoiled them. These are modern day pastors. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them, which turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judges and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groaning and by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers, and followed other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn ways. This is a history lesson. Do you see that today? Are the 20-year-olds as righteous as the 50-year-olds were when the 50-year-olds were 20? God help us when the 20-year-olds are 60. What are the 20-year-olds in 40 years going to be like? Well, what happened? They rejected the God. They rejected pastors. They rejected the wisdom of their fathers God raised up judges, pastors, ministers. They tried to preach his word. They rejected that, and they got deeper and deeper well. And finally said, okay, I give up. I give up. I can't change you. I set my word. I sent past, I tried to help you. But if you reject me, the punishment, it will come on you because of your disobedience. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 11. And we begin in verse 1. This is another history lesson. And this was very special because I still remember the first time I read this. I didn't read it, but I was listening to a sermon tape. And the first time I read this, it brought tears to my eyes because it showed me something that God does not change. Romans chapter 11, verse 1. I say then, have God cast away his people? God forbid. I am God, therefore I change not. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thy altars. I am left alone, and they seek my life. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like you're all alone? Verse 4, but what saith the answer of God to him? This is going to make you cry. I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Wow. We're not alone. I think there's people all across the United States we've never met that have the zeal that we have. Like Don said, all knowledge? No. All truth? No. We're in a fallen state. That's what I can't wait to find out when I meet my Heavenly Father and His Son. I want him to show me what I was right about and what I was wrong about. Do you have joy when you grow? When a beloved brethren or sister explains a verse to you that's the opposite of what you thought, and you realize and God revealed it to you that you were wrong and they were right? Are you happy? Or, there's no submission in that. We got to love one another. How can we uplift one another if all we do is this? We're supposed to espouse others more than ourselves. We're supposed to esteem others. A brother's trying to teach me something. I got to get my stubbornness out of my head and listen. One last reading. 1 Kings chapter 18. Very simple. I said in the earlier that God wants us to be like little children and have the faith of little children and be converted. 2 Kings chapter 18, beginning to verse 17. 1 Kings chapter 18, 17. This is in the middle of a story, but you all know the story. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and hast followed Balaam. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. And we know the story of what happened when they built the two altars. He put it very simple, and I'm going to simplify it in my simple mind. There's really only two gods. There's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and there's everything else. That's simple. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And today, you have to accept or reject the God of yesterday and His Son so that you can move forward and serve that one and only God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Two choices. It's up to you. Thank you for having us, and may the God of our fathers bless each and every one of you. Amen.